Tired of paying outrageous prices for Viagra? Well, we have great news for you. Now you can finally get Viagra at huge discounts. Healthy Man allows you to save up to $500 on Viagra. Why pay U.S. pharmacy prices of $15 per pill or more when you can get Viagra for less than $3 a pill? Call today and get 40 Viagra pills for only $99. Call 1-800-958-6699. That's 1-800-958-6699. Again, 1-800-958-6699.
Welcome into Tomorrow with Dave Graveline, the interactive radio network program with the latest in high-tech products and services and the experts who bring them to you. This is Into Tomorrow. Here's Dave Graveline.
Yep, that announcer dude is right. This is Into Tomorrow. It's the weekend of February 23rd, 2018. I'm Dave Graveline. Thank you for tuning into the program. Thank you extra when you call in and participate on the program. With any tech question you may have, let us solve your digital dilemmas. Maybe you want to help another listener. That's awesome. Perhaps you just want to share with us your favorite app. Whatever the case, we want to hear you on the show. Yes, we get to the occasional email, but your calls are what is most important and gets you the coolest prizes. And you want to stay tuned because we've got a whole bunch of cool new things to share with you. And all you have to do is join us on the show. And when you hear us mentioning the prizes, be sure to make a note. There might be one or two things in particular you'd love to have. And while we make no promises or offer no guarantees, we ask if you tell us about that item, or if there's none of that left, how about this? Call in, win stuff, good mantra, because you do. And then we'll do our best to get that item or one of those items to you when you do call in. So stay tuned and we'll share that with you. I think I did mention I'm Dave Graveline, Horatio and Erasmo in the control room. And on this side of the glass with moi, we have none other than
Joe Casera, with a big hello to all of our fans on Bellgab.com, including Mark and MV. You guys know who you are.
Oh, and now we do.
That's right, I Bill. You know what I'm talking about.
The audience
may not, but everyone who needs to know knows.
There you go. Well, all right, but I hate excluding our audience.
Well, just Google Kim Commando sucks, and you'll get all the information.
Oh, jeez. All righty. And Leo Laporte doesn't do anything for you or something. I don't know. It was something along those lines. Anyway, and also,
I'm the slightly less controversial Chris Graveline.
Only slightly less controversial. Tech news and commentary in the first segment every hour on our regular shows, as opposed to our irregular shows where we're traveling the world bringing you the latest. What tech news do you have?
Wouldn't you like to fly in my beautiful balloon? No,
oh my
maybe
God.
A taxi.
He tries to sing.
Well, Uber's chief executive officer said on Tuesday he can see commercialization of the Uber air flying taxi service happening within 5 to 10 years, eventually becoming an affordable method of mass transportation. Uber struck a deal with NASA in November to develop software for managing flying taxi routes. Chief Product Officer Jeff Holden also said Uber would begin testing 4-passenger, 200-mile-per-hour flying taxi services across Los Angeles in 2020. Isn't that just a dystopian sci-fi movie waiting to happen?
Or massive accidents waiting to happen?
Yeah. It's second test market after Dallas-Fort Worth. So stay tuned for that.
Wow.
Would you get into one?
Not the first one to get into one, no. Maybe several hundred down the road or up in the air, so to speak.
Yeah,
those of us try one.
Who are early tech adopters will probably wait for the 2.0 or even 3.0 on this one.
Yeah. Speaking of taxis, Sony working with taxi agencies in their home country of Japan to create a service that uses artificial intelligence to hail a taxi cab. They say the AI technology will help taxi agencies predict spikes in customer demand because of things like changes in the weather or traffic conditions, and also manage dispatches accordingly. So they're looking at artificial intelligence to get your taxi if the flying one isn't good enough.
That's very good. You know, that's, I would call that applying the Amazon.com framework, because that's what makes that company and their service so stellar, is that they're willing to use big data and AI and machine learning to optimize. Mm-hmm. Now, it always takes its toll on its people, as we've seen in the news recently, but that's going to be an interest. That's something to keep an eye on, I think.
Sure. I mean, tech being disruptive as it is, that certainly follows those lines of the whole disruptive technology, whether it's replacing people or hopefully making things a little more efficient. And then, as a result, replacing people.
I'd like to replace the people I have to share a table with at Starbucks with machines, but that's another story.
Perhaps we'll get to that later.
So, more emoji drama. The body responsible for approving emojis released a new set of proposed images, including a corrected version of a much maligned lobster emoji.
Oh, gee.
The Unicode Consortium released proposed images for 157 new emojis expected to be available later this year. And one of the images, a lobster, quickly started gathering attention for an unusual reason. It had the wrong number of legs. Organizers of Rockland's annual Maine Lobster Festival tweeted last week, "The lobster emoji is happening. Hopefully the final version will have the right number of legs." Now, the CEO at Emojipedia, that's the chief emoji officer, said that the lobster emoji is being corrected to include all 10 legs instead of the 8 on the original version. He said the consortium's proposed emojis are actually only meant to serve as examples, as the companies that provide the images for use by Apple, Android, and other platforms could design their own unique versions.
Now, how many remember, show of hands, unless you're driving both hands on the wheel, please, the last emoji debacle? That was, of course, the cheeseburger, where the cheese was under the burger.
Yeah.
And the chaos that created.
Well, isn't that what Canadians do? Don't they put cheese and stuff under the burger? You're dating one. Tell me, Chris. Yeah, isn't
they do a lot of things backwards up there.
Okay.
no offense to our listeners on CKLW
800.
We love Canadians.
You even got their slogan in there. That's how we take care of them.
Their listeners are the smart Canadians.
Yeah, of course. Yes. Yeah. Love that Canadian bacon.
Yes.
And it fits better on a burger, because it's round.
Now, who was complaining? The Maine Lobster...
The Maine Lobster Festival...
Okay. Well, maybe it was a lobster affected by the Maine Yankee nuclear power plant. Remember the one that shut down in 96 due to... So that's why it had extra little legs.
It could be like a protest type emoji.
No, I think it's a fallout type emoji.
Yes. Wow. Oreo hoping to entice consumers with its new augmented reality game, the Great Oreo Cookie Quest. Yeah. As with Pokemon Go, the game uses object recognition technology to lead players on a mobile scavenger hunt to collect points, which they can enter to win a trip to Africa or California. I don't know why those two areas of the world were the chosen ones and the only ones, but apparently the Great Oreo Cookie Quest, you can win a trip to Africa or California.
Can I just win like a lifetime supply of Oreos?
That would be better as far as I'm concerned, sure. But it's supposedly going to be like Pokemon Go.
Oh.
We shall see. Oreo is what you meant. But using object recognition technology, it's more part of augmented reality. Good luck to the Oreo folks, as long as you have milk.
I don't understand a word of that promotion.
The app responsible for popularizing swipeable virtual keyboards has been discontinued.
Oh, yeah.
Nuance ended development this month for Swipe for both iOS and Android 6 years after it bought the company behind the keyboard app for around $100 million. Nuance said that it would discontinue support for the Swipe keyboard app and instead focus on other products. Now, Swipe is no longer available on the iOS App Store or Google Play, but customers that still have the app can use it as normal and continue to have access to tech support for at least the next few months, they said.
The next few months. And then after that, if you still like swiping, you're on your own.
Yeah.
Wow. Well, the plot does thicken, and who knew? A lot of people were very happy with that, though. A lot of people were using Swipe for the longest time. I tried it for a long while and thought it was really cool.
I tried it a few times. I couldn't quite get used to it, so I just went back to the old-fashioned
type. I've been using very successfully. I've talked about it on the show, too, in one of our favorite app segments a while back, the SwiftKey keyboard.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you guys are familiar with that, but I love it, how it second-guesses what I'm about to say, a lot more so than just the normal text guessing. Chris had an interesting text to a friend girl the other day.
Let's just say that when you're using voice text, make sure you speak clearly and slowly so that they get the right word across.
I said peanuts.
Yeah. And this girl who he hadn't at the time even met, from what I gather, said, "You're eating what?" And then he corrected, no, peanuts is what I meant to say. Honestly, I was using, And then, of course, she laughed, and they met later that night for drinks, and probably that was the topic of discussion. Do you want some peanuts with that drink?
Knowing me, it'll probably be the topic of discussion for a long time.
It most likely will be. But that's why it's important that even with SwiftKey or Swipe or anything else you use on any keyboard or especially voice dictation, that you check it before you hit send, or you may very well be embarrassed. I mean, I'm sure we've all seen these things that get posted about a text that somebody sent to his mom and went, oh my gosh, that's not what I said, or it's not what I meant to
say. But, you know, that's never going to happen, because for decades we've told people when Windows or Macintosh pops up a little window that says, are you sure you want to do this? Here are the repercussions. Here's what you're about to do. People don't read that. They just don't. I mean, we just experienced that with the whole situation in Hawaii with the ICBM alert, you know. So, it's easier to just make sure that your software is intelligent enough to avoid those mistakes, assuming that your user is too stupid to.
True. But still, voice dictation can really mess you up if you're not careful.
Dictation, yes.
There's a reason for that, I'm sure.
Samsung Electronics will slash output of its organic light-emitting diode panels in response to its customer Apple's decision to cut production of iPhone X amid weak demand. Samsung Display, the panel-making unit of Samsung, now plans to make OLED panels for 20 million fewer iPhones this year.
Whoa.
For 20 million or fewer iPhones this year, significantly lower than its initial goal of supplying panels for 45 to 50 million iPhones. They've not yet announced plans for next quarter, though it's expected to also be lower.
I'll bet it is. Stuff happens. Japan just invented robo-bees. Have you heard about that? That can legitimately pollinate the earth. A team at the National Institute of Advanced Industrial Science and Technology in Japan engineered the devices using a combination of horsehair and $100 drones with a sticky ion gel.
What kind of hair?
Horse hair.
Oh, spell that?
As in...
Okay, just making sure.
Yes. Oh, yeah, okay. Wow, I must be working on a delay. Yeah, the animal, horse hair. It still sounds... yikes.
Sorry.
I used to arrest a bunch of those when I was a cop, but that was a whole other story.
You know, those bees, that's a part of a Black Mirror episode that if you haven't watched, you really need to check out. I won't ruin it for you, but it doesn't end well.
Oh, for the bees or humans? Or just watch it and
you'll see.
Black Mirror. Okay, well, check that out. But that's kind of cool, because unfortunately... various places around the world have been losing dramatically the bee population. Mm-hmm. And if you haven't watched one of these Discovery Channel things or special of how important bees are to everything, making honey. It's the pollination. It's the fruits and vegetables. It's all sorts of stuff that bees do a heck of a job. And we're losing them in real massive swarms.
Yeah, if you have Netflix, check out, there's a miniseries on Netflix called Rotten. Check it out.
It's
about, you know, that's part of one of the episodes. It's all about the food industry and how things are being, how it's not so good.
How it's rotten.
Yeah.
You might say. All right. Sam in Ontario, Canada, welcome into tomorrow.
I was wondering if there is a way to block a VPN. My 14-year-old daughter is using a VPN to get around some of my security settings.
Oh.
Now, my router's a little older, and so maybe that's an issue. I have been using the Circle by Disney. I love it, but her VPN seems to get around things.
Well, Sam, welcome to your household's own arms race. Your digital native teen will certainly have the upper hand. It's a shame, and as a good parent, you're obviously trying to deal with that. We have some good news for you, though. The Netgear's Circle with Disney router, please, actually has a setting to block VPNs and proxy sites. There's a good chance that doing that won't work, though, but even their own website says that it may not if they're not recognized as VPNs or proxies. Now, having said that, it's an on-off setting on the router. So you might want to try it. It wouldn't hurt to give it a shot.
Yeah, I mean, you can also block the port on that your daughter is using to access the VPN. Your Circle router lets you examine the data traffic on your network, so you may be able to spot the port that's being used. Then you can block that specific port. You can also schedule off hours so that she cannot use her devices to access the internet at times when you're not there to monitor her. Now, there's no guarantee of anything. If your teen is savvy enough, she may be able to use a different VPN that uses a different port and keep on going.
You can also put her on restriction of some sort, too.
Yeah. But since you're talking about a 14-year-old, there's a decent chance that she also has access to a phone that can provide clean internet access independently from your router.
Mm. Sam, just take everything electronic away from your daughter and give her a book. But no, seriously, from a technical perspective, you can restrict her access, but she'll probably be better at getting around your roadblocks than you'll be at building them. So if you can, you will probably be better off trying to teach her why she shouldn't go to certain sites or take away access to the device. If she has a smartphone, you're going to have an extra hard time keeping her offline if she still doesn't want to be.
Yeah, I mean, it's a parent's concern. I'm glad, Sam, that you are one of those concerned parents. And you can't keep an eye on everything, obviously, especially as they become teens. It's become more and more difficult. You have a job to do, and you have maybe other kids and other household concerns. But I commend you for doing what you can, and I hope that we have been of some help to you. Let us know what ends up working for you, because you know you're going to help a whole lot of other parents with similar concerns when you share your hopeful success with us all the way into tomorrow.
If you're 85 or younger, would you like peace of mind and comfort for your family? We're Final Expense Direct with an urgent message for you. The average funeral today costs over $8,000, but the most you'll get from government benefits is $255. How will your family pay the difference? We can help. Our senior plans start as low as just a dollar a day and pay up to $30,000 for a funeral and other final expenses. Peace of mind is easy. There's no medical exam. You'll have lifetime coverage, and your plan can't be canceled as long as you pay your premiums. Call now for free information about our senior plans. Answer a few simple questions and receive approval right on the phone. Plus, call right now, and we'll give you a discount prescription card for free. Call 800-523-9112. That's 800-523-9112. Again, 800-523-9112. 9112.
Obviously, Facebook trending is biased. When was the last time a piece about you was on the top of the list? And you're trending, right?
Narcissist.
Yeah, too many people only want what they want. And their stuff, if it isn't at the top of the list, well, they're getting upset. And I may be among them sometimes, but that's life. I'm Dave Graveline. Welcome back into tomorrow.
I'm Chris Graveline.
I'm Joe Casera. And stick around, because Dave will be talking to Alexi Venieri. He's the founder and CEO of Digital Airstrike. It's social media management for businesses.
Jump aboard the time machine.
You got mail.
Time to head into yesterday with This Week in Tech History.
History. Here's
Chris.
Oh, our reverb got stuck. Sorry.
This week in 1873, E. Remington and Sons of Ilion, New York, began the manufacturing of the first practical typewriter. The strongest steel, heavy black clunkers became instant fixtures in offices across the country. It would be another half century before electric typewriters made their appearance. In 1885, this week, the American Telephone and Telegraph Company, or AT&T, was incorporated in New York State as a subsidiary of American Bell Telephone. In 1941, this week, FM radio began in the U.S. when station W47NV in Nashville, Tennessee, started operations. W47NV was the first commercial FM radio station to receive a license, about 20 years after its AM counterpart, KDKA, in Pittsburgh.
Here I come to save the day.
Oh boy. In 1954, the first color television sets using the NTSC standard were offered for sale to the general public. And this week in 1995, Yahoo was incorporated. The company actually began a year earlier as Jerry and David's Guide to the World Wide Web.
Certainly a much catchier name than Yahoo.
Yeah.
And where are they now? Oh, yeah, owned by Verizon, which means they're not doing well at all.
Uh-huh. That's our look back at This Week in Tech History, brought to you by IFA in Berlin, the global innovation show since 1924 for consumer tech and home appliances, and by IFA Next, the launchpad for innovations. Get more info on these annual retail events at ifa-berlin.com.
Now, into tomorrow's favorite app of the week. What's your favorite app?
We love to hear from you about your favorite app these days. What are the kind of things that you're sharing with others? Hey, check this out. Well, Sally in Cary, North Carolina, listening to News Radio 680 WPTF, is doing just that.
I'm a longtime user of
computers, got my first one in 1981. And I used to be on top of technology, but it's very hard to keep up these days. I'm way behind, but I'm impressed with you guys, and it helps a lot to listen to you.
Well, thanks.
You asked for a recommendation on a favorite app. One that I discovered recently was called Office Lens, and it's a way of taking a photograph at an angle so that it comes out rectangular, if the object is originally rectangular, and not skewed the way it would with a regular lens. It's pretty cool.
Well, thank you, Sally. We appreciate that. Called Office Lens, she says.
And it's an official Microsoft app, and it basically uses the camera on your phone as like a scanner. So you can scan a document in, and then it'll correct for positioning and angle and all that
stuff. And the technology is so good, they actually incorporated it directly into OneDrive. Too.
Oh, did they?
Yeah.
Well,
Sally, you should give us a call back or an email and let us know what your first computer was in 1981.
There you go. That's the kind of thing that not only our tech historian Chris is always interested in, but especially Joe, who had, I think, every computer on the planet at one time or another.
Absolutely. You should see the big mainframe in my closet.
Check us out at intotomorrow.com.
Do you have an idea for an invention or new product? Do you think companies would be interested in your idea? Do you want to try to get a patent? Then call InventHelp now. InventHelp keeps your idea confidential and explains every step of the invention process. We create professional materials representing your idea and submit it to companies who are looking for new ideas. We have more than 9,000 companies who have agreed to review ideas in confidence. If a company shows interest in manufacturing your invention, we can negotiate on your behalf. We have helped over 10,000 clients receive patents. We also offer services including 3D modeling and animation demonstrating your idea, prototyping services, and we use state-of-the-art technology to show InventHelp client ideas to additional companies. Join the thousands of people just like you who chose InventHelp to pursue their idea. We are experienced. We are working for you. We are InventHelp.
Call us for free information at 1-800-461-3151. That's 1-800-461-3151. Again, 1-800-461-3151.
Letting you know what else you just can't live without, I'm Dave Graveline. You're tuned into Tomorrow in our 22 plus years on the air, covering products and services, all kinds of cool things available today and into tomorrow. Most importantly, we want to hear from you. And when you call into the program, we love it when you participate. Of course, the best way to do that is to use the audio option on the free Into Tomorrow app. And that's real easy. Download the app in your favorite app store, available for all kinds of devices, Apple devices, iOS, Android, all sorts of neat stuff. And then use the audio option and participate that way, and you sound like you're right here in the studio with us. Or the old-fashioned way still works, too. Good from anywhere, toll-free in North America. Or you can Skype into us if you'd like. That works, too. 1-800-899-INTO. 800-899-4686. Our next guest is with a leading consumer engagement company providing the most comprehensive software and managed services platform for social media and all sorts of digital marketing. The founder and CEO of Digital Airstrike is Alexi Veneri. Alexi, welcome into Tomorrow. How are you?
I am great. Thank you for having me into Tomorrow.
It's a pleasure. And you do some pretty unique things. First of all, why the name Digital Airstrike? I love it, but how'd that come about?
Oh, that's a great question. Well, my background has always been in sports marketing and automotive. And I found that, you know, when you actually like have a strength behind your marketing, you know, the guys kind of take you a little bit more seriously. But really what we found when I started the company is social media at the time was this nice to have. You know, it's people having conversations. And I'm like, no, I'm one of those marketers that likes, you know, ROI. And I want to know what we're going to get for any time or technology investment. And you want to strike and take action when there's opportunities to engage with consumers. So it was really, you know, that was one of the reasons. And we also find working with businesses, they're great at their business, and it's kind of their troops on the ground. You know, engaging with consumers usually in still kind of traditional brick and mortar businesses, and we wanted to be that air cover and be able to strike and give them that advantage online.
I love it. I mean, great analogies, and it makes perfect sense because it's exactly what you want to do. But now I wonder, because when you talk about engaging with their consumers and their customers and so forth, it seems to me that with social media, most, if not almost all, I guess, of the engagement is seemingly when people have a problem with their product or their service, or, you know, the company doing something that they didn't think was appropriate. Do you find that to be the case? And then it's a matter of how they strike back, maybe?
Yeah, I mean, that's certainly an element of it. I think that that tends to be what gets focused on with some of the business owners, because they do take it personal. You've started a business, you know, your name's maybe on the shingle, and someone's got a problem, and certainly all of the social networks now, it feels like, have a review element to it. But that's no longer just kind of the only thing that happens. It's pretty incredible, the shift. I started the company almost 8 years ago, and this was before social media advertising. It was before a lot of the engagement tools. And what we've really seen is consumers today just expect an immediate response, whether they, you know, write on your wall, or they private message you, or they tweet at the business, or they check in. So it's not all negative. And in fact, if you encourage it to be a community and a forum where you can engage with them, I mean, we find by and large those negative reviews are kind of the smaller portion of what we do in terms of helping consumers with, you know, engagement with those businesses. So good. It's been a fun evolution for me, because certainly there are those instances, but I love to kind of, you know, make a service save and help the business turn that around to you. And oftentimes when you do that, those originally unhappy consumers become your most loyal kind of fans going forward when you fix the problem.
Now, that's a good point, Alexi, because I've done it, as a matter of fact, sitting in a store and being upset with something, or spoiled milk, you know, a bunch of bottles still in the refrigerator case. It's like, doesn't anybody look at this? So I'll do a tweet or something, and then I'll get immediate response. And sure, I mean, it seems like within moments, here's a manager coming down the aisle having somebody remove all the spoiled milk or whatever. And it's like, wow, it does work. And while it was a negative, it did turn, you know, the proverbial turn lemons into lemonade, I guess, or in this case into fresh milk. But then the positive is you got their attention, and it might have been negative, but you know what? I will shop there again because they care. They're paying attention. Hopefully they learn from this. And now somebody who's in charge of that is going to keep, I hope, a closer eye. So then it is a positive engagement in the long run.
Exactly right. And it's really public, too. So it's no longer back in the day where you had a problem with a business and you'd walk in or you'd phone, or even email seems like archaic these days, right?
Yes.
But in those cases, it was between you and the business. The world didn't know. Well, now the world knows.
Yeah.
So it's even more, you know, relevant and crucial for those businesses to really have a process, a plan, technology, a partner to be able to first know about it. You know, that's where we kind of started, where these businesses didn't know these conversations were happening or that there were these negative comments online. And we not only helped them with that as almost air traffic controllers, mm-hmm. alerting them and assisting them potentially with responses, but we find that it's really important to have a process to, let's say, through a survey, whether you still email or you want to text consumers a survey, ask all of your customers how things are going, because it's the ones that are happy that tend to not necessarily seek out those public forums to tell the world unless you make it happy for them. So we like to give the businesses really a level playing field to go, look, there's always going to be a challenge, always, with every business at some point. How you handle it speaks volumes. Mm-hmm. But let's, you know, let everybody kind of talk about that experience, and you'll find, by and large, you know, most of the consumers are really happy, and it's cool to have them be like verified consumers. And, you know, there's that trust factor and transparency that in today's business you just have to have.
And I'm glad you bring that point up, too, because I'm sure you see it as I do, that you see a lot of companies that don't appear to be responding or even looking at their social media. And it's like, if they allow people to just post without reviewing it first or something like that, and you go through this whole scrolling of nothing but negatives, and you wonder, there's no responses and there's no screening of it or reviewing or even deleting posts where somebody might be so upset they're cursing at them and whatnot. And you think, why do they bother to have a social media site if they're not monitoring it. That's got to be frustrating to you as a pro in the business.
Well, it's an opportunity because those are the people that have to work with us.
Yeah, good.
That's
touché.
Why we're in business. It's true. What usually happens, I'm telling you, is they had an intern or you know, someone come in that they, you know, kind of maybe mistakenly assumed because of their age they could do social media. And then it was like a set and forget.
Yeah.
And that person may have left or, you know, they're just not aware of it. And the cost of ignoring is huge. And you look at it as the consumer, which I do, and I always approach it from that perspective and really is, what's the solution here? And there's lots of different ways we can approach it with technology or some managed services, but you've got to be on it. And, you know, they just don't even they don't even know the business they're losing because consumers are seeing it. And it's, you know, that some of the changes we've seen, a digital airstrike where when we started, for example, there was no way to advertise the social networks. It was content. You know, you could even, there were businesses with like personal pages. It was just kind of all a mess. Now it's amazing. Not only are those comments in reviews or being messaged or on the wall or being, you know, in tweets, they are actually in the ads themselves that businesses are paying someone to promote, and they don't realize that there can be months of comments from random consumers, whether or not they've ever purchased from that business, in the actual comment field on, let's say, a paid ad on Facebook.
Hmm.
So it's just kind of, you know, it is kind of the Wild West out there, and I think that's why they need to really have someone that's well-versed managing this for them or work with a partner, because, you know, you can do more harm than good, to your point. Why have the page if you're not going to manage it or respond?
Yeah.
And that's exactly right. So, but when you do it right, oh, it's so powerful for a fraction of the cost of really traditional advertising.
And as long as we think social media has been around, because a lot of us have been using it for so many years, you're right. It still really is the Wild West out there in that sense. And do companies, though, find it difficult or have to find either a person, or the bigger the company is, a team of persons to just monitor social media and respond and deal with things that pop up, whether it's a tweet or Facebook or an Instagram or whatever?
Yeah, it's still a mixed bag out there, and you'd be surprised. Some of the largest, like, national companies have some folks that really, you know, maybe aren't as well-versed as they should be how to manage this.
Mm.
So I think one of the biggest mistakes I see companies make is they will just rely on more of a traditional ad agency to handle it. And those agencies are not set up to make money off of it or understand it, really. They're still kind of back in the day of, you know, let's go through some traditional advertising and make a commission. So our best advice to them is truly find tools or technology or a real digital partner that this is what they do. They're not doing anything else. They've got actual rapport and relationships with the social media network. So we actually have real people, believe it or not, at Facebook, at Google, at Yelp that we deal with every day.
Actual real human beings.
There's real humans. Yeah, it's pretty cool. I've been to all of their offices. It's awesome.
Wow.
But we actually partner with them on the behind-the-scenes technology so we can monitor, so we can leverage the networks for business and oftentimes really impact, you know, what they'd be willing to do for our clients in terms of some connectivity or you know, more timely alerts or different ways we can integrate marketing offers, for example.
Hmm.
So that's pretty cool. So you want to make sure you find somebody that truly does this because it's really important. Or, you know, with someone internally, if they focus on it, there are certainly a lot of ways you can do this manually. It's just very time consuming. And I think businesses need to weigh the pros and cons. If you're going to hire someone that's become an expert in this, you know, what's the cost of their salary? What's the cost of their time? And we do find they end up moving around. You know, I'm a social media expert. Everybody thinks they want that. Let's say that's what the candidate says.
Yeah.
You know, they may be with you for a year, but what about when they leave? And do you have a policy in place to protect passwords and logins? Do you really understand the work they've done while they're with you? And have you documented that process so it can be, you know, transferable? So, you know, it's a big deal, and even a basic tip we provide all businesses is make sure in your employee handbooks you have a social media policy. You know, can your employees go out there and speak on your behalf, just like you wouldn't let them, let's say, jump on your radio program?
Yeah.
You know?
In fact, wow, what an important point that is, too, Alexi, because they are, in fact, now your official spokesperson. because of the impact of social media. I mean, I spent many years as a police officer, and most of those years because of my background as police spokesman for Miami-Dade County. So I understand how there's additional training and responsibilities, and how you can't release everything, but you release what you need to, et cetera. Same thing would apply to a spokesperson for any corporation. And what they're responding with is so critical to what's happening for that company, probably more so than somebody whose name is on a press release, because so much more impact with social media.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Right. And back in the day, if you were interviewed standing on the street corner, right, it's kind of a moment in time. Yes, they might have archived it on their website, but they only saw it, let's say, the 6 o'clock news, and then it's gone.
Yeah.
Today, if you let anybody like the Wild West tweet, respond, answer, a review, based on the heat of the moment without that training, it can have dire consequences, and it doesn't go away.
Oh, man.
You know, it's truly very, very important they have a policy, practice, and training, and ongoing, you know, reminders when they have staff changes around what you can and can't do.
Well, I tell you,
the amount of times we've caught things that are pretty damaging is longer than you have time to hear about today. So,
oh man, and I want to get you back on again very soon, because there's so much more, Alexi. We've already gone way over our time limit, but I this is such important stuff for a lot of people, including consumers, to get the big picture and understand. So if you want to discover the top social media trends that can impact your business, for example, you got to check out their site, digitalairstrike.com. Love that name, and how appropriate it is, too. And we'll link you there, too, when you visit
us at intotomorrow.com.
It's our pleasure, Alexi, and by all means, thanks for joining us, and we'll get you back soon. DigitalAirstrike.com is, of course, where you want to visit. They got all kinds of great stuff. Their 2017 trend study is available now. I'm just scrolling through their site and talking about how their clients are getting more positive reviews and neat stuff. And even as a consumer, you want to check out what they're doing at DigitalAirstrike.com. I'm Dave Graveline. Into Tomorrow continues here on the Advanced Media Network.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems, listen carefully. If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, we can help you take back control. The IRS is the largest and most aggressive collection agency in the world, and they can seize your bank account, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Take control of your tax problems now by calling the experts at Tax Mediation Services
at 800-610-9070. That's 800-610-9070. 800-610-9070.
We help you stay cyber safe in a world where you're either going to be hacked or you've been hacked already. If you've got questions or concerns about online safety or anything involving consumer tech, join us anytime, 24/7. I'm Dave Graveline in the control room, Erasmo and Horatio, and here in the studio,
Chris Graveline.
And I'm Joe Casera, and this portion of Into Tomorrow is brought to you in part by HughesNet, high-speed satellite internet available where you live or work. Learn more about their new 5G technology. Visit HughesNet.com.
And if you, of course, have a question, a concern, a comment, want to help other listeners, we want to hear from you 24/7, not just now when you're hearing the show, anytime you've got an issue. Call the following toll-free number here. I've got a pen. Jot it down. Put it in your phone. Save us as a contact.
800-899-INTO. That's 800-899-4686.
Or you can use the audio option on the free Into Tomorrow app, should the app you have work.
Call in, win stuff.
There you go. Good mantra. Don in DuBois, Pennsylvania, last week, was listening on Connect FM, and he called, actually a couple of weeks ago, as I recall, talking about his hard drive making noises and wondering if it was worthwhile to transfer all of his data to an external drive and boot from that. And we told him, well, first of all, by all means, back everything up before total crisis. But our very own Ken Higgins, who is now with OWC, Other World Computing, had some additional input for Don as well. We always love to hear from anyone who can help another listener, especially someone family like Ken.
Yeah, Ken said you can easily go into the BIOS and set the boot order. He said he would still need to clone the hard drive. Ken says he's not sure if he needs to create an ISO file, but there's a free utility called Rufus that can help. That's R-U-F-U-S. On a Mac, you just hold down the Option key and tell it which drive to boot from.
Yeah, and you definitely need to back up that hard drive ASAP. I bet I know exactly what the sound it's making, too. It's a... That means there's a mechanical problem. You probably won't need to use any kind of system software to create an ISO file, but you are going to have to install a brand new fresh copy of your operating system on that external drive if you want to boot from it.
Ah, okay. So, Don, I hope we help you out more. See, that's why it's so important, especially when you call in. Stay tuned, because other listeners, other guests, even we come up with some additional ideas. Yeah, even us. And we like to share that with you. So you want to stay tuned, because we're always doing our best to help you and every listener that joins us on the show. If we don't have an answer, we'll find one. We'll keep doing the digging. So let us take care of any digital dilemma that you may have. Again, use the audio option on the free Into Tomorrow apps, or call this number, which is toll free from anywhere in America. And even though we are saying be careful with Skype these days, if it's working okay for you, Skype into us at
800-899-INTO. That's 800-899-4686.
And meet us at intotomorrow.com.
Need top marketing talent at a fraction of the cost of marketing agencies? Code Orange gives clients access to top marketers, brand experts, designers, website and mobile app developers, and search engine marketing pros that work for you as an extension of your team. Our experts have worked with brands like Coca-Cola, the X Games, Chanel, Carnival, Twix, and Samsung. Whether your company is big or small, we're your marketing department on demand. Learn more at codeorange.com.
Into Tomorrow continues. I'm Dave Graveline.
I'm unfortunately Joe Casera.
Unfortunately.
I'm very fortunately Chris Graveline. Don't forget you can listen to all 3 hours of Into Tomorrow via our free Into Tomorrow app and by visiting our website at intotomorrow.com. Our stream is provided by our friends at streamguys.com. And if you don't already get our free once-a-week tech newsletter, trust me, you're going to want to get it. Stop by intotomorrow.com, enter your email address in the box that pops up, then you'll click the link in the email you're going to get, and you're in.
Yep. Double opt-in program, because we don't spam anyone, so make sure you watch for the email that you should get within mere moments, and then click that link, as Chris mentioned. Among other things, we have every week tech news, who's on the show that week, the list of prizes available, all sorts of neat stuff, including Beth's tech tip.
Yeah, these days it's hard for some to feel safe, whether there are grown-ups walking at night or a student in school navigating through mean kid threats. I go through that every day. With the help of technology, there are a few things you can do to feel safer in your travels.
And we have the 25 best Chrome extensions for Gmail. These Chrome add-ons turn Google's webmail client into an ultra-powerful service. So if you use Gmail, you definitely want to check this out. All in this week's Into Tomorrow tech newsletter. How do you get it? Well, as Chris mentioned, just visit us at intotomorrow.com and your email address only, which we don't share with anyone, and it's yours.